Good morning. As we begin our preparation for worship, let's sing together, please, our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church. We want to extend a very special welcome to each and every one of you, and especially those that are visiting with us this morning. If you are a visitor looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street as a possibility for that home. And if you would give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, then that will give us an opportunity to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. All of us young folks are up here this morning. I want to express a thank you to everyone who helped yesterday in our church grounds beautification day. We had about 50 people here helping yesterday, and I think you can see a big difference in the church grounds. So thank you for all of those that did help yesterday. Reminder that there will be a dinner this evening at 6 o'clock, a dinner to say goodbye to the Dominics, who unfortunately are leaving us. It will be a covered dish dinner, so bring a meat, a vegetable, a salad, or a dessert, and join us at 6 o'clock this evening for that dinner. There will also be a luncheon on Sunday, April the 22nd. This will be a luncheon and silent auction. It will be a fundraiser for a mission trip to Nicaragua. We've actually got four members of our church who are signed up for that mission trip. Some of the silent auction items for that will be weekend vacations in homes and condos, golf packages, gift certificates, and Barbara Shelley's famous chocolate cake. So tickets will be on sale. They're $5 a piece. They will be on sale just outside the door here immediately following the service today. Today, you will notice most of us have these badges on. This is the first day that we are using the name badges for members of the church. If you did not get a name badge, if there was not one out there for you, we have not kicked you out of the church. This is the first Sunday, and it turned out to be a bigger task than had been anticipated, so they're slowly working on that. So if you do not have one out there, there will be one for you next Sunday. If your name is misspelled, Emmy apologizes. Just let her know, and she will get it corrected for you. Please remember to return your badges. There will be a basket at each exit, so return your badge as you leave the church this morning, and then they will be there again for you next Sunday morning in alphabetical order for you to pick up next Sunday morning. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
He comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. He comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Hosanna to the Son of David.
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Seated. Would I ask you to join me in the invocation as found in your bulletin? O God, your Messiah draws near. We have cut the palm branches. We have spread our coats over the muddy road. all to welcome his coming. Shall we praise you for all the mighty works that we have seen? Shall we shout, Hosanna? We want a Messiah, but is this the Messiah we want? Confront us with the moment of decision, O Lord. And if we remain speechless as he passes by, if we stand by the road in timid silence, let the very stones beneath our feet cry out, saying, Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. As we approach our time of prayer, I do have several additional concerns. Mary Lynn Polk's brother-in-law, Franklin Polk, passed away, and she was called away for that service. Will not be able to assist in communion today. We found this morning that Doris Arnold's son, Taylor, was found dead. We know no more details than that. We ask you to be in prayer for Barbara Shelley, for Susan McLean's father, who is in hospital in Augusta, for the family of Louise Watley, for the family of Louise Culver, for Griff Williams, for Mike Williams, who will have surgery this coming week, for Shorty Callison, who continues his treatments, for G. Poe, as she recovers from a treatment this past week, for Carol Scurry, for Buck Lawson, who is in the hospital recovering from a surgery to repair a broken arm, and for Carolyn Childress. I also would like to add both of my parents. I'm in that in-between generation where I have wonderful grandchildren to rejoice in, but declining health in my parents to be concerned about, and have some major decisions to make, and I do covet your prayers. As the oldest son, there are five of us, but as I called around and around and around, they said, no, you do something. So you know how that is. And I'm asking you to do something. Pray for me as I work with my parents, making some decisions that may be unpleasant. Let us go together to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, Lord, in our hearts we can see the palms as we see King Jesus pass by to cheers and shouts. We see you riding not a war horse for trampling down your enemies, but a young colt as the sign that you come bringing peace and hope. Ride on, King Jesus. Ride into our world today and bring peace. Peace to the warriors. Peace to the prime ministers and presidents. Peace to those caught between factions and fighting throughout this troubled world. Ride on. Lord, we see you riding from the safe mountaintop into the city, into the dark and forbidding city that shouts Hosanna but prepares a cross. Ride on, King Jesus. Ride down into the depths of hate and sin and struggle. Ride down into that darkness and be the light. We need to see how far we've fallen. We see you riding to the shouts of Hosanna, riding to shouts of Blessed, and are stirred to hope. Could it be that the Son of the Living God rides before us, showing us the way, holding the door to the kingdom open for the unlikeliest saints such as us? Ride on, King Jesus. We come following in the way that leads to the cross, yet we are slow and far, far behind. But we are following. Following for you alone have the words of life. And we cannot come by ourselves. We bring along with us brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, the undecided, the useless, the losers and the lost. For they too need to see what we have seen. And they too need to hope as we have found hope. So ride on, King Jesus. We are coming because everything less must be set aside for this great thing. We're coming because true life requires it. We're coming, whether it means the hosannas of Palm Sunday or the cruel nails of the cross. Ride on, King Jesus. Ride on. We follow. Hear our prayers, O Lord and King. And in the name of Jesus, we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. It is time for our children's time, and I'll invite them to come forward.
Thank you. Good morning. Everyone come around so you can see one of these posters up here. We've got two people holding them for everybody to see down here. So come on up a little bit closer. We've got one right here and one over there. The other side. There you go. When you came in this morning with your palms, it reminded me of something else I wanted to talk to you about. We talked about Jesus. He rode in on a donkey. He could have come in like a king would have with a stallion or on a chariot, but he picked a donkey. A donkey is something that we use to work. We work donkeys. They do the fields and they take people for rides. But Jesus rode in on a donkey. I'm going to tell you the story called The Legend of the Donkey Cross. Can you see these pictures of the donkeys? Can you see the cross on their backs? Right here, you see right there and there, right here. There it is. Well, the reason that cross is there, that donkey rode up and he saw Jesus crucified. And he was so sad he couldn't watch. He turned around and he turned his back. And the sun cast a shadow of the cross on his back. And to this day, 99 out of 100 donkeys are born with that cross on their back. So next time you see a donkey, think about Jesus and the crucifixion, and think about what we celebrate every Easter and what you celebrated bringing in your palms this morning, okay? Can we have a prayer? Yes. Heavenly Father, thank you for Easter Sunday coming. We give you our blessed joys of our palms, and we ask that you lead us and guide us. Amen. Thank you.
If I were the kind of excitable clergy who said amen, I would have just said it. I will. Amen. That was beautiful. Beautiful. Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our gifts, our pledges, our special offerings. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our every need and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these gifts, these returns unto your house. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. gospel reading this morning comes from Luke, the 22nd chapter, beginning with verse 14. Hear now God's word. When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed." Then they begin to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." And he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, in most congregations, Palm Sunday is like a pregame show for Easter. It is a warm-up for what comes next week. Peter Gomez, the preacher to the university at Harvard, refers to the festive frenzy of Palm Sunday, the organized chaos of processionals and children waving palms. And there's really nothing better. I don't know if we had anyone taking some pictures today of the children excited and taking part in worship and waving their palms and shouting Hosanna. Nothing better, especially if it's one of your children or one of your grandchildren. But there is also a shadow of ambiguity about this day. The week it begins is holy because of what happens on Thursday and Friday to come. The festive shouts of Hosanna for King Jesus will be drowned out and forgotten in 5 days by more sinister shouts of "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" The jubilant crowd devolves into a mob of bitterness and hatred demanding a public execution. And so for most churches, we focus on Palm Sunday as sort of a pregame. Most people do not attend Maundy Thursday. Please note in your bulletin it will be at 6:30. And also we need reservations if you're coming to Good Friday. And that's 12 o'clock for the lunch and 12:30 for the service. But most people do not attend. And we're left with this week at Sunday, good attendance and wonderful pageantry with the children in the palms, King Jesus coming into the palm-waving crowd, and then skip Thursday, skip Friday, and next Sunday, Easter. And we almost succeed in preempting the cross. By an accident of the calendar, we do have communion today. And in communion, if we listen with our ears and our hearts engaged, we cannot avoid the cross, the innocent blood, the sacrificial death on our behalf. The ritual supper Jesus remembered with his disciples was a binding up of the Old Testament Passover with its lamb's blood symbolism, a binding up of that with Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world in this new and better covenant. Yes, Good Friday is here, in a way, on this altar, even on this happy day of palms. Such is our world, and such is God's love. We prefer, though, our religion to be positive and uplifting. Who doesn't? And we prefer resurrection to crucifixion. Who wouldn't? But still, I encourage only because I cannot require you to come to the Good Friday service. On average, across the board, Easter will outdraw on attendance Good Friday by about 10-1. My former advisor, now Bishop Will Willimon, once suggested that churches ought to post a sign on Saturday before Easter that reads, a sign on the door that reads, "No one gets in here who wasn't here Friday." We're not going to do that, but he suggested. Of course, the Easter event is the central focus of our faith. It means that death cannot win. It means that evil cannot win. It means that love and life ultimately win out, no matter how impossible that seems. Even if it takes a resurrection to do it, God will win over sin and death. But how can we appreciate just how much God loves us without the cross? I know the standard explanations, but sometimes, I think the absence of a crucifix somewhere in our churches represents a faith that simply doesn't want to think about what it cost God to love and to forgive us. Holy Week is holy, precisely because on Friday the King was greeted by palms. King Jesus then died, and that death, we believe, was somehow the final expression of God's holy love for us. And if you don't somehow hear that and see it and live with it, and then when we all come back next Sunday on Easter to celebrate, it loses something. It loses something. It can become a mere flower festival, or it can become a mere rite of spring without the understanding of what it cost God to love us, to forgive us. This is the day that set in motion the events which led to Friday. The decision to come to Jerusalem was fateful. He did not have to. He could have stayed in safe, rural Galilee. And at Bethany, a few miles outside the city, he did a peculiar and provocative thing. He ordered the disciples to find a donkey, and then he rode it the rest of the way into the city. That may not mean very much for us, but he knew, and the people there knew, what everyone would think when they saw it. At Passover, everyone remembered the prophecy from Zechariah, "Behold, your king comes, humble and lowly, riding on an ass." It was a beautiful vision. Israel's Messiah and true King coming to the city of David to claim the throne and begin his reign. And that is how the people saw it. And they responded ecstatically. They threw their garments in his path, and they sung and they shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." New Testament scholar N.T. Wright says it was a deliberately prophetic and provocative act, because there already was a Jewish king, at least by title, in Jerusalem. But he was a collaborator with the Romans, the oppressors. It was Herod. I love what the late George MacLeod, founder of the Iona community, said. He wrote once, "I simply argue that the cross be raised again at the center of the marketplace as well as the steeple of the church. Jesus was not crucified in a cathedral between two candles, but on a cross between two thieves. On the town garbage heap, at a crossroad so cosmopolitan that they had to write his name in Hebrew and Latin and Greek. At the kind of place where cynics talk
smut, and thieves curse, and soldiers gamble. Jesus entered the city like a king, come to claim his throne. And for a moment, when the people were shouting and waving the palm branches and little children singing, for a wonderful moment, it seemed that he might actually seize power, ascend to a throne, and begin his reign. But he didn't. He did not. Instead of wielding power as all other kings before him had wielded power, he chose love. Instead of the accoutrements of worldly authority, he chose the authority of compassion. He declined a throne and instead chose to reign in the hearts of men and women and children who would accept him and follow him and live like him in the world. Mary sang of her son's upside-down kingdom earlier in the Gospel of Luke. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Jesus in John explains the cross instead of the throne in this way. In John 3, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus was elevated to king, not on a throne, but on a cross for us. And he said in John 12, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Yes, it is Palm Sunday. And that means that what we call winning and succeeding ultimately does not matter very much. Palm Sunday means the ultimate realities in this world are going to be, finally, compassion, kindness, and love. Death and evil only think they have final power to rule and persuade. Final power and authority belong to our God and King who fought for us on a cross. And so we sing, "All glory, Lord, and honor to thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring." Thanks be to God for this beginning of the most holy week. Amen. I ask you to turn in your hymnals to page 12. We will serve by intinction today. The choir will come first, and we will have two lines going down the center aisle and two stations here. You'll receive bread and lightly, by intinction, dip the bread into the unfermented wine and go back to your seat on the far side. So we will have two lines down the center, and if you wish to kneel before you return to your seat, we have the kneeling rails out. But we will move continuously from the two lines until everyone is served. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Thanks be to God. Let us offer one another signs of reconciliation and love. Let us briefly pass the peace. I'll ask those who are going to serve to come at this time. Do you know where the hand wash stuff is? Here.
Make sure the choir comes in two lines so we don't confuse everybody else. Okay.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water in the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Body of Christ was broken for you. Body of Christ was broken for you. Body of Christ was broken for you. The blood of Christ was shed for you. We will serve the choir first. You two to cross over.
We will conclude with our hymn number 272. Please stand. Once again, I encourage you to make your reservations for the Good Friday service, the lunch, and then the service, and the Maundy Thursday at 6:30 this Holy Week. Now receive this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through your Savior, Jesus Christ, and the communion and the fellowship and the comfort of the Holy Spirit even in this moment. You have been blessed. Be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.